Let's please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 1. It's an Old Testament minor prophet. It's, after the last major prophet was Daniel, and then it's Hosea and Joel. We're also going to get into Amos a little bit today, which is right after Joel. And we're also going to get into Zechariah. But last week we covered we did the background to the book of Joel. They believe, there's two different camps of when they believe Joel was written. I go along with the camp that it was at the time of Joash, king of Judah. And we covered that last week, how wicked things had become in the country of Judah. 2 Chronicles 21-24. A king murders all of his brothers to be able to stay in tyrannical power. Then he has a son who just only lasts for a year, and then he dies. And then the mother, Athaliah, she takes power. She's tyrannical and demonic in her ways. So she slaughters all the remaining royal heir of Judah. And I emphasized last week, we think our politics are bad. Just imagine if we're just waking up to the complete slaughtering of everybody. We already have heard that people that were in the Capitol on January 6th are still in solitary confinement and being starved and other things, that are being mistreated and beat. And that we know that the current tyrannical government does consider people that are freedom lovers and lovers of Jesus and believe in the Constitution and the flag, that, we're domestic terrorists, potentially domestic terrorists and a threat. But they're not killing us yet. Isn't that nice? So, but back at the time that Joel is writing, they were killing. They were killing anybody that was in opposition to Satan's rule through the people that he was controlling. And so then Joel writes at about that time, and so the prophetic book that he's writing applies to a country that used to know God and has now departed from God, and bad things are starting to happen as a result. So could that apply to us? Were we a country that was founded on the things of the Bible? Yes. Did even if people didn't believe in Jesus, there was a general fear of the law of God. People knew the law of God, and they acted accordingly, and they were restrained by the things of the Bible, thou shalt not. And then did we take that all down? Did we take it off the schools and everything else, wipe it out of our culture? Yes. So what happens when that happens? Tyrannical things happen, weather changes, ability to eat food. changes. Have we as a country ever been in want food-wise, really? Have we ever gone into the grocery stores and seen them emptied out? No. I mean, the only thing you ever had to worry about is having enough money to buy food. And even then, even if you don't have enough money, the culture has an abundance that can make sure that nobody goes home and goes to bed hungry. Well, according to the Word of God, that can change. That can change. There's ramping ups of consequences of sin and rebellion against God to the point where we're going to see famine. We're going to see locusts that bring famine today in our study. So, and then we're going to see Joel, the prophet Joel, saying, look at what's happened. Look at the locusts just ate everything up. And you need to repent. You need to consecrate yourself to God. You need to repent in sackcloth and ashes and seek God. And the Saturday morning breakfast yesterday, we discussed what revival looked like under King Josiah. And we just went down through the list. How likely is that kind of a revival repentance, turning to God, sackcloth and ashes repentance, how likely is that to happen in the country? Not much. But you know what? It can happen to you. It can happen to you and your families. And so we need to individually do this, because there is no sign that it's going to go nationwide just, smelling the roses, the corruption that's in our area. So let's, Joel means Yahweh is God. That's kind of a neat name, right? The God of the Bible is God. All the other gods are no gods. And was written like we were saying. And so Joel 1:1 said, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. And I wanted to emphasize one thing here. Came to Joel. Joel didn't just sit down one day and say, you know what? I'm going to be a prophet. I'm just going to start writing stuff. Because that's what happens in the new apostolic reformations of today, these wannabe prophets and wannabe apostles that are deceiving people in the world today. There's many of them. They just fancy themselves to be prophets and apostles. And Deuteronomy chapter 18 says, this is how you know if somebody's really a prophet. If what they say is true, then, you know, and actually there's two ways. If they say, if what happens in the prophecy comes true and they're leading you towards God, then they're good. If it doesn't come true, then you stone them. And that way, not many people feel like being prophets. They don't like to make up this story that they're prophets. And that's, I wish that would happen. And I've even told people, just thus says the Lord. The Lord told me to tell you. And I go, where's the rock? Literally. So if you ever feel like telling me this, I'm going to say, where's the rock? What do you need a rock for? If I'm going to stone you. If what you say, thus says the Lord, about what I'm supposed to do, I'm willing to accept, you know, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy from somebody. The Holy Spirit can give that. But the person saying it better know it's from God. Otherwise, I don't want to hear it. Do you? I want to hear the true word of God. I don't want to hear something that's just cooked up in some person who thinks they're greater than they are. Well, Joel, he knew God was speaking this message to him. So what we're reading in this book is God himself wanting, not just for his generation, but for us. Because some of what he says applies to times yet future to us that we're going to get to. And so this is God speaking. But when you look at the whole Bible, how many of you have read through the whole Bible? Good. You know what? I bet you if you compared that population of people that read through the whole Bible through most of the church around the world today, you're doing pretty good. For everybody that had your hand down, make it a goal. Because I'll tell you what, the only way we're going to survive in the days that lie ahead, however many days those are, is for us to get an increased fear and knowledge of God. To let the Word of God come inside of us. It should be the priority number one, as we're going to see Joel saying. And if you've read the whole Bible, how many chapters are devoted to, this is a wonderful day, your better days are ahead of you, everything's wonderful, it doesn't matter what you do, you are going to have, God's going to bless you, he's going to give you that job, he's going to give you that pay raise, and you just do whatever you want to do. How much of that is that in here? You know why? Because God knows us. And you know what he knows about us? We're prone to sin. And the only thing that keeps us from being prone to sin is a fear of God, a healthy fear of God. And a being warned, you know, don't touch the burner. Why, mommy, daddy? Because it'll burn you. And he's just constantly warning us. Go after idols. There's demon behind idols. And the idols that you worship, they'll cause you to get into sexual immorality. And you'll go after other gods. You'll sacrifice your children. And you'll do these things to your detriment, to your destruction. And so Israel goes off and does it anyway. Why? Because they didn't fear the Word of God. They didn't fear God. They didn't get into the Word of God. They lost the Word of God in their heart. And so we are living in a generation, everybody, you should be turning to your Bible instead of the remote and everything else. You have nothing more important than to know the God of the Bible. And so, well, we've got one verse. That's going to go like that through here, I think, today. Hear this, you elders. Verse 2, hear this, you elders. Now, in our culture, it would be you politicians. Because the elders were the leaders within a city. Each city had a city gate. The city gate was populated by elders who were recognized by the people to have elderly wisdom in how to deal with problems that were in the culture. You know, the judges, and they were the judges. They were the elders to deal with problems in people. So, hear this, you politicians, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers? And what he's going to talk about is locusts and drought. Has this happened? We've gone through all this history and now we're to where the locusts have just trashed our food supply. Has this ever happened? Because this is a warning from God. And everybody ought to take notice when things start falling apart. Is our society falling apart? And what God is calling us to do is to take notice. What's happening? What's happening? And we know why it's happening. And then to do what he tells everybody to do. Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. I'm going to camp on this for a while too. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6:1. Every one of you young people here, still at home, children, here's the emphasis. This is the application of today. You go home, mommy, daddy, can you read me the Word of God? Can you explain more of it to me? And do that every day, every morning, every lunch, every evening. How often do you think that happens in America? Be honest. Almost zero. Kids today, you would almost have to tie them down and shackle them and say, I'm going to spend 10 minutes telling you about the love of God. What do you mean? I've got gaming to do. I've got this program I want to watch. I've got something more important. Nothing more important. So this is for those of you that have ears to hear and eyes to see, that are children here, your attitude should be, my parents are going to love me by telling me about God, the God of the Bible. I grew up in a godless home. I was a result of a godless home. Never got any Bible teaching at all until finally I was so unruly that my dad says right here, I don't know where he found it, must have been some friend of his, that he would say, my son is completely uncontrollable. He will not listen to a thing I say. Well, just read him Ephesians, where it says, the first command that comes with a promise is, children, honor your father and mother. And he actually sat me down on a couch. I can still have it in my mind. And he sat me down on a couch, and I was sitting to his left, and I go, and I read it, and I go, and right on here, and fathers, don't exacerbate your children. I go, I like that one. By telling me stuff I don't like to do. and so, see, the Word of God is what can help your family, can help your children. There was a time when these verses, Deuteronomy and others, that just convinced me, I need to, before my children get to be 18 years old, and Nathaniel's sitting over there, and he can remember the day, Sunday evening after church, we're going to go home, and in the evening, going to join anybody else that wants their kids to come, and in 5 years, I'm going to get through the whole Bible teaching you, so when you leave, when you're 18, you're going to have the whole Word of God. What you do with it's up to you, but I'm going to do what God told me to do. And so we started going through that, and I used an opportunity to outline the Bible. But we started the church 3 years into it, and so didn't finish too. So that's why he's still here, is finishing. Except saying, Dad, can you hurry up? Because we still have some stuff to cover here. So tell your children, because God wants us to know, don't play in the street, don't do this, don't do this. Chapter 6, verse 1, now this of Deuteronomy. Now this is the commandment, the Word of God is talking about. And these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So God, when you look at God's law, when it says that you shouldn't steal, does that help prolong your days? Yeah, it prolongs your days, because you're not going to end up as a thief, living in jail, doing all this other stuff. When it says thou shalt not get involved in sorcery, drug use, does that prolong your days? Does honoring your father and mother prolong your, everything that God says in his laws that still apply, because there's a bunch of the law was sacrificial system that's fulfilled in Jesus, and we forget that, or it's all fulfilled in Jesus, and so we're done with that. But all the other stuff, it's for our good. Stay virgins until you're married, live heterosexual monogamous until death you do part, and all this other stuff. But today, it's just like, do whatever. It's not even so much of a big deal to steal any stuff anymore. In fact, the other day I went and got some, a couple days ago, I went and got some motion sickness stuff, because my son's a pilot now and I don't want to puke in his plane. And I got it, and I go, can you check me out here at the pharmacy place? And then she said, oh, yeah, sure. And then she goes, do you want a bag? And I go, no, it's just a little box. And I said, as long as nobody shoots me for going out at shoplifting. And I go, wait a second, nobody even cares about that anymore. You can shoplift. And I go, that's not even illegal. And she goes, yeah, nothing's illegal. I go, hardly anything's illegal. And I've actually thought this, the next time I get pulled over by a cop for speeding, should that ever happen, I'm going to say, praise God, something's still illegal. Because, well, hopefully he'll laugh and not give me a ticket, but Think about it. I mean, in this state, the police, and this takes effect next week, you can't arrest anybody for drugs and all this other stuff. All the probable cause things are all changing in this state. It is going to be, the police are just freaked. Like, what do we do? And guaranteed, because our laws are based on the Bible, drug use, drunkenness, thievery, all that stuff is the Bible. And it was to prolong our time, because we're going away from that as a state and a country to a certain extent. Do you think things are going to get better in this state, or they're going to get worse? According to the Word of God, it's going to get worse. That your days may be prolonged. Deuteronomy 6:3. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And we sang this song, and I bet you the worship team didn't even know I was going to go to Deuteronomy, because we were in Joel. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Which is, Jesus taught, one of the two greatest commandments. Because if I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you know what? I love him. And what did Jesus say? If you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll obey my commandments. And his commandments are good for us. He so loved us, he gave his life to set us free from the slavery of sin. And then we give our life to him and say, God, you got to change me, because you know how I am. I'm a sinner. And I'll do heart surgery. And he changes the things that are going on in our heart. And we get to, we go from being a child of the devil and serving ourselves and selfishness to over, you know, the Bible says from glory to glory, changing, being changed by God over time. And it always ends up better. My life is better today than in rebellion against God serving Satan. And it's been getting better as I've served Jesus over the years. And that's regardless of what kind of circumstances might make my life better or worse. Because no matter what the circumstances are, the joy doesn't change, because I know Jesus is in charge of my life and he's going to give me everlasting life whatever happens. So, and for being a Christian, we literally, for the first time in this country's history, you might suffer persecution for being a servant of Jesus. And don't be thinking, well, Kevin, you know, said if you follow Jesus, things are going to get better. It's still better. If you're persecuted, it doesn't matter, because when persecution's over, you're in heaven with Jesus. And so let them do what they're going to do. We have an eternal perspective of what the future is, and it is better with us. So I want to love, we sing the song with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. God forgive me, it's not all yet. Would everybody say that? It's not all yet. If it was all, we would all be living differently than we do. But can we strive for that? Can we seek for that? It's no magic what it takes. It takes learning of him. It takes being willing to repent of the things that we're doing that are contrary to him. It takes wanting to let him rule our life in every aspect. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, that you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. How often? Frequently. Again, just, you know, hey, Pastor Kevin said, I'm supposed to talk to you about Jesus all day long. Oh, man, do we have to go to that church? The kids can respond like that, because I'm loving you to tell you about the love of God. And you can do it in several different ways. Look at the creation. Look at what God has done. Just think about what it took for this little seed to grow up into this massive tree. And God ordained that, put in the DNA for that to happen. And you think that's time and chance. You can't believe this nonsense that the world wants to teach you. God is the creator. And we answer to him. And I love that song. When I rise, you know, just give me Jesus. You know, in the morning when I rise. You know, when I'm afraid, whenever, just give me Jesus. That's what we want to instill into our children. Just give me Jesus. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And if you go to Israel, especially if you go to the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall, you'll see Jews walking around with leather straps that then hold on a little box on their hand. And they literally do this. They literally bind the Word of God. There's a little Word of God thing in a little box in their hand. they're binding certain sections of Deuteronomy in their hand, saying, I want it on my hand. And then they have a big box right here. And that's the box that has the Word of God. And they wear it on their head. It's a phylactery. And then you've seen probably in movies, or if you've been to Israel, you see it all the time. You have a little mezuzah next to the door. And in that little decoration that's there, they actually have a little cupboard that you can open up and you stick the Word of God, Deuteronomy, other verses in there, like this one. And then they put the door down. And so when they're going in and out, they'll just kiss the mezuzah, kissing the Word of God. And Orthodox Jews do that, to literally do this, to make the Word of God should be precious in your mind, should be precious and just kept it in your heart, kept it in your hand. Read it, use it, love it, because it'll keep us from going into corruption like the rest of the world's going in. Going to verse 12. Beware, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, did we get brought out of the land of Egypt? In a way, we did. What was Egypt? Slavery. Were we ever slaves? No, Kevin, we're Americans. We were never a slave. According to the Word of God, everybody's a slave to what? Sin. And what did Jesus set us free? He made us so we don't have to serve sin and Satan anymore. He gives us a power to turn away from sin. Should we ever forget what Jesus did to save us from sin? Never. And the more we think about what that really means, the more you're going to be able to say, no, I'm not going to serve the world anymore. No, I'm not going to let that tantalization of the lust of the eyes get into my life. I'm not going to let the tantalization of the lust of the flesh. I'm not going to worry about the pride of life. Those three things are what all sin is entailed according to the Word of God. See, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And so the Lord wants to take that away by us remembering what Jesus did to save us. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Now, so, you know, the pagan, the God haters, the atheists will look at this and go, yeah, you know, the God you serve, he's just always wanting to just beat you up because you don't love him. What God is saying is, what are the nations around them doing? What are the nations around Israel doing? They're worshiping idols. And when they're worshiping idols, it says everything that happens. It goes into sexual immorality, homosexuality, bestiality, killing their children, abusing women, etc., etc., etc. And he goes, don't hang around the world, because if you hang around them, you're going to be like them. And if you're like them, you're going to be serving Satan, and you're going to get Satan's reward, which is destruction in your life. Is that true today? You know, every parent that loves their children is going to say to somebody who's living for Satan, living for the world, going to say, don't hang around them, because they're in the world, they'll drag you down. How many of you were growing up and you ran into one of those people and you ended up hanging and your life went into the trash because of it? Okay? Yeah, I was a pagan, but I was doing okay in school, straight A's in sixth grade. Neighbor moves in next door. Hey, let's sniff glue. You know, that's what I do. Okay, let's sniff glue. Went on from there. Started stealing, started Ouija boarding, started doing all this demonic stuff, and all of a sudden my life is in total rebellion against God, against my parents, against everything, because the world crept in. You know, that guy, I've tried to witness to him over the years. He was best man at our wedding, and he's cut me off because let me tell you about Jesus. Kevin, you know, if you're going to call and talk about this, then we're done. And I tried to call him even after that, and he never answers, leave a message, never calls back. So I'm thankful to Jesus that he set me free from the slavery of going down that path. Beware lest you forget. Go after other gods. And it's not the anger of the Lord is he has to deal with sin, because otherwise, what if he doesn't deal with sin? everybody that wants to love him dies. So he has to deal with sin to maintain it with Israel, to maintain a remnant. That's what Joel's about, too. Joel is speaking to the Jews because, you guys, God's going to judge you because you have to remain a remnant. You have to be around there till the last days. Because as soon as people embrace the things of the world, they destruct. They self-destruct. Go to chapter 6, verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves. What's this, Jesus? You know, why do you take me to church? Why do we have to do this? Why do I have to go to youth group? Why do we have to do Wednesday study? Why? Because your mom, your dad, we were slaves of sin, and Jesus set us free, and we've got to maintain the fear of God to know him, because there's nothing more important in life. Is where you're going to end up. And as soon as I see you embracing the God of the Bible and you from your heart, you love Jesus because he died for your sins too. Nothing's more important. Savior, we were slaves of Pharaoh, Satan, in Egypt, in this corrupted, fallen world. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh and his household. He beat Satan. He defeated him at the cross. Then he brought us out from here, sanctified us, gave us a new heart, you know, is changing us that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day. God, everything he says is for our good. And we either believe it and receive the benefits of that, or we reject it and bad things happen. That's our testimony to our children. And about everything. Do you tell your children things that they should stay away from so that they don't get hurt? Sorry, Nathaniel, I just feel led to share this. So, you know, electricity. You know, electricity looks harmless in a socket to a kid, doesn't it? I mean, you see a socket, and it's just a socket. You can touch it. You can go up to it. You see your parents plugging something into it, and, you know, it makes a vacuum cleaner go, whatever else, and it doesn't seem like anything. So, but I know that it's dangerous. And so I tell the kid, and I know because when I was a kid, I stuck a bobby pin in one. I go, I can pull a bobby pin apart, and I can just go like this and see what's going on in there. And you know what? I burned my hand really bad. I mean, it just that bobby pin basically vaporized in my hand. And my parents told me that was really stupid. But see, my parents didn't know to warn me that it was stupid. And so I wanted my children to know. So, hey, guys, just I want you to know, don't ever stick something inside there because something bad will happen if you do. And told them what was going to happen. Well, Nathaniel kind of believed me, but not for sure. And so he wanted to make sure. And I think it was a paperclip instead of a bobby pin. But he was smart enough to make sure that his brother was the one that tested it out. So. So. Well, they found out that it really, Dad told the truth. You know, and a lot of people look at the Word of God the same way. They look at I don't really think that it's a problem. You know, the whole world just says, sleep around until you figure out the one that you want to marry. Why don't you do this? Well, you know, who cares? At the drinking age, they say it's legal. Do the drinking age. Oh, marijuana is, methamphetamine is legal now. So what do you got to do? And these people say they can stay up for 4 days straight. And I got things to do. And so I'm going to do some meth and whatever else. And the Bible says, don't do it. But they still stick their bobby pin in the receptacle and they get messed up. And so we're trying to teach our children, and God has been trying to teach us. So let's go back to verse 3 of chapter 1 of Joel. Tell your children about it. A commandment from God that all of us should implement. And it's grandchildren there too. For those of you that your children are already gone, it should be a grandchildren thing too. Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation, because if once you lose a generation of children, then what happens to the grandchildren? As soon as a person rejects the teaching of Jesus, are they going to teach their children? No. And then what happens? With the same thing you see throughout the Bible. When you read the Bible, it's like revival. People sit there and go, man, we got to serve God. We got to learn Him. We got to love Him. We got to do what He says. And then you lose the generation. And then pretty soon, worshiping idols, corruption, death and destruction, judgment. And so it's that cycle. And then he emphasizes what has just happened to their country. In verse 4, what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. And what the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. And what Joel is saying, I want you to tell your children about this. The consequence of sin. The consequence of sticking stuff in an electrical socket. The consequences of rebelling against God. Whether they listen or not, we can't help, because most don't listen. But what they had just experienced is having their crops, planting their crops, doing all the work. Again, in their time, you know, almost everybody was into farming or raising sheep and goats and stuff like that. It wasn't like now where, you know, our farming amounts to driving to Safeway or QFC or whatever and taking it off the shelf. But back in their day, everybody is working to put that food in the ground, praying to God, please let the rain come, please. You know, keep it so that we can eat something next year. And then they watch a cloud of locusts come, and that completely wipes everything out. And I read a little bit about locusts. There's different kinds. But when they get done, see, they'll go through and they'll get the easy stuff first, the green grass and the things, they'll get that first. And then when the next wave comes, oh, that's all they eat. And they'll eat the bark off of trees. They have sharp teeth to eat the bark off of trees. They'll wipe out the fig tree, they'll wipe off the palm tree, they'll wipe out the trees that are providing food for the people. This is what we're supposed to tell our children. And why did God let the locust plague come? Let's turn to Deuteronomy 28:36. He warned them. See, he did warn them. Just like telling your children, don't play in the street. Oh, by the way, we were told as kids not. I mean, we weren't even told as kids not to play in the street. And We were, in that age, left to our own. What does the Bible say? You're left to your own, you're gonna be destroyed. And we were let out the door, and we were playing in the street. My 4-year-old sister, my 6-year-old for me, my brother was 8 years old. And we're playing, throwing rocks under the steamrollers as they're widening the road. And my sister got hit by a car and almost died. That suffered the rest of her life as a result of some of the injuries that she had. And so God warns for our own good. We ignore it to our peril. And God, in Deuteronomy, the law of Moses, hundreds of years before Joel, he said, these are the things you have to know. And if you do disobey God, then this is going to happen. This is going to happen in verse 37. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you. The final judgment is that you'll actually be carried away into a different country. You know, there's people who believe that China's at the Canadian border and the Mexican border, ready to take over parts of the West Coast. I don't know if it's true, but if it is true and they come in, fulfilling scripture. It's just the result. God says that a people that fear me and turn away from my commandments and do their own thing are going to ultimately be invaded and taken away. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. See, he warned them hundreds of years earlier. You turn away from God. You have tyrannical people that slaughter people and, you know, burn your children in the fire, all the stuff that was going on. Then this is what's going to happen. You're going to be consumed by locusts. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. You're going to have your trees that make olives are not going to they're going to drop their olives too soon before harvest time. Now, we haven't had locust plagues. And even last week, the person was saying that one of the states had a major grasshopper plague that's eaten a bunch of stuff. But grasshoppers aren't locusts. So locusts are like major, devour everything. You see nothing. When they're done, nothing. But are we seeing anything in this country that's associated with challenging for the first time in our history the food supply of America? I'm reading articles that in California they're telling farmers you cannot take any water out of the irrigation ditch system because the reservoirs are too low, and because if you take it, then people might not be able to drink water. Can you imagine being in a city that runs out of water? Can you imagine? I was in Phoenix, Arizona. And they live on the rivers and stuff that are depleted because of the drought that's going on. I do not want to be in 115 degree heat with no glass of water. It's like, okay, I can't wait to be up here where at least we shouldn't probably run out of water, but we could have other things that could happen. And so we just go to the grocery store. How many of you thank Jesus for your food? If you don't, you ought to start. Because that's what happens, is we sit there and we take things for granted. The Jews took things for granted. And then judgment came, and then, whoa, locusts. You know, I was ready for that crop. I was all ready to harvest, and then all of a sudden, gone. And God said it would happen. And verse 41, you shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Praise Jesus. I don't know of anybody that's lost their child to trafficking, you know, like disappeared. But, you know, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who had their child. Oh, you know, this guy, he's just so sweet, Dad, Mom. You know, let me go see him. Why, who is he? You know, well, he just is, he doesn't really want to meet you. But, you know, is that okay if I go see him? Boom, never see him again. To the point where 60 Minutes a few years ago did a segment on how the sex traffickers, especially up and down the I-5 corridor, just schmooze a girl away, or even a guy, away from a family so they can be sent into trafficking. Wouldn't have happened in the better days of America. It's a judgment that comes. Why? Because people turned away from teaching their children. No, why, Dad? Because the world is dangerous, and I want to know who that person is, and et cetera, et cetera. And because the God is for us, and the enemy is against us, and I want to know. And so back in the days where people had God-fearing wisdom of how to protect their children, they would use it, and it wouldn't have happened. And plus, there wouldn't have been those kind of people around as much as there is today. You shall beget sons and daughters. They will not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. Do you know that the government is sending letters to farmers in America saying, do not plant your crop and we'll give you this much money. You plant it, you're going to pay money. We're going to make it so you don't have a profit. Why would they do that? I mean, this has literally happened in this growing season. Why would they do that? Just in case the vax doesn't get enough people and they need to get the rest of us starved? I don't know. It's insane. It's insane, this stuff that's happening. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you. Oh, wow. And you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. Let's turn to Amos chapter 4, verse 7. It's the next book after Joel. Wow. Is that happening? Is the alien ruling among us? Wow, Kevin, that's not because of any judgment of God or warning of God or anything. It's just because of our corrupt government. Everything about the corruption of the government comes from Satan taking over and destroying this country. It's spiritual. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And therefore, you better have the armor of God, the gospel of salvation, your feet shod with the gospel of God, and your loins girded about with truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How much is this country relying on the sword of the Spirit, the offensive weapon of the Word of God, to help us decide what to do? Almost nothing. So the consequence of abandoning the God who gave us his law and his wisdom so that we could live and prosper and our lives could be extended, we reject that and we get what we have today. Amos 4:7, God speaking, I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city. Maybe implied too much, like Germany. You know, how many followed Germany this week? Just completely, whole sections of the country destroyed with never before happened rain. I withheld rain from one city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, just to have water. But they were not satisfied because they couldn't eat. And yet have not returned to me, says the Lord. Yet, even then, they haven't returned. Has the calamity in America today caused anybody to call for, let's get back to Jesus? Let's put the Ten Commandments back up in the walls of the schools. Gone since the 60s. I think it was the 60s. Let's put the Bible as the Word of God. Let's say as a country that this is our identity. No, we're not Muslim. No, we're not Buddhist. No, we're not Hindus. You're welcome to be here, but we're going to fear God. As this country, is anybody calling people that? No, it's just a call to politics. It's a call to political power. But we need to get back to Jesus or it's not going to be a solution. And I don't think there's going to be a call back to God. I blasted you with blight and mildew when your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees. Oh, good. Everything's okay. The locusts devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Some people noticed the revival at 9/11. I did. Our church, we'd started the church by then. I go, wow, look, the place at Gibbons Community Center filled up more than normal. And then after 2 or 3 weeks, it's all back to normal. It's like, whoa, we got to get a church. I mean, look at what happened. The whole country, I mean, we could have war. We could have this. And people all of a sudden had a passion. But the passion just waned. As they would hear, it's about Jesus. Let's get right with God. That's kind of old-fashioned, don't you think? Let's just go back. No more buildings are falling, and we're going to go get the terrorists. I sent among them plague after the manner of Egypt, which might be diseases that were associated with immorality. Your young men I killed with the sword. You lost in battle. Along with your captive horses, I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me. You went into war one way and got wiped out. Your children, you kept losing war, kept sending people overseas to go into battles. They die and you ended up accomplishing nothing. Did that ever happen? I agree for the people, and maybe some of you are here, that's, in the days we were like, we're going to go get them. We're going to go bring democracy and everything else. And all the people that lost their sons and daughters and husbands and fathers and uncles and aunts and everything else, that now they see what's going on over there. And what they have got to be thinking, it was all for nothing. It was all for nothing because God was saying, you're going to go accomplish, try and accomplish something, but you've got a rotten core at home. That rotten core is not going to allow you to succeed. And it's grieving, but it was predicted by the Bible. Let's go back to Joel chapter 1, verse 5. See, God allows the hardship to come, which we ask for. See, God's not wicked. We are. We turn away from him, opens us up to satanic consequences. And then he is saying, don't you see that what you're doing in serving Satan is bringing hardship, yet you won't return to me? Now, again, the nation, I have no hope for really returning to Jesus, but we can. Everybody here, right? You, wherever you're at with Jesus, if there's consequences in your life because of serving the world instead of serving Jesus, repent of it, turn away from it. And from this day on, you can say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to double down on this, especially as I see the day approaching. The day of His coming, I am going to get my life into Jesus. I'm going to stop all the stuff that America distracts, you know, the sports and the TV and the movies and everything else that keeps me from at least making this a priority of my day, every day. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. If we do have empty shells someday at Safeway, Fred Meyer, and things, in a way, it's going to be God's way of getting some people to wake up. Wow. Wow. Look what has happened. And maybe I should listen to my Christian friend that's telling me I got to get right with Jesus. Maybe I should go to church. Maybe I should read the Bible. And that would be the good consequence. And see, that's what God's consequence. He goes, I'm getting you to the point like weep and wail because guess what? You're hungry and you're not drinking wine. You drunks, you're not drinking anymore because the new wine is not turning into the drunk wine and you're in trouble. And then they go, oh, God, help me. I can't get drunk anymore. I mean, that's the way some people are going to be looking at it when the consequences come here. For a nation, locust now is what he's talking about. For a nation, devoured by locust, has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of iron, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. And again, locusts do have teeth to eat even bark of some trees. He has laid waste to my vine, ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for her husband of her youth. Lament like you had all these plans. I'm going to get married and I just had a husband and then he dies. You know, people have all kinds of plans. We were even talking yesterday. It was one of the young guys in the men's breakfast that was just lamenting, you know, I mean, you have as a young person, you have things to look forward at, and you're hearing from the Bible, from this teaching and everything else. Maybe some of the young people, man, I got a life to live. This is depressing. But the depression is associated with the judgment that's coming upon this world, which we studied in Revelation and everything else. We see everything that the Bible talks about, judgment is coming to this world. Why? Because of the global rejection of the God of love, the God of peace, the God of prosperity, the God who is better for our life, and the world's wholeheartedly rejected it. And so this time it's a global thing that's coming. And we can have plans, but you know what my biggest plan is? And if I was 18, I was not a believer when I was 18. When I became a believer, I think it was 19 years old, I became a believer. My plan, even though I had aspirations, my biggest plan is I'm going to go be with Jesus. So let that sink in. You young people and whatever else, you're not going to be depressed when Jesus comes. You're not going to be depressed when you have everlasting life. Maybe things can change and that, see this lady, she got a virgin that's all ready to get married, gets married, boom, he dies. And we can lament that what our plans were might not have materialized, but it's because of the sins of the world that things are changing. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted. The land mourns, for the grain is ruined and the new wine is dried up and the oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up and the fig tree has withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Guaranteed, there's not going to be circumstantial happiness if we end up being food rationed in America. Right? None of us are going to feel good about that. And what my mindset will be, bummer. You know? But it's okay with my soul when it comes. Because I know why it's here. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I was saying, you know, and he's he's a non-believer, doesn't want to hear. Multiple times I've tried to share him, you know, he gives me the, you know, time out, no. And so then when I was just, and he's fully aware of what's going on. He's fully aware of the consequences of what's happening in this country. And so yesterday again, I was talking to him and I said, how can you even have hope? I mean, tell me, I want to hear from you. I mean, you see this stuff happening and you have no hope in it. And then he's pausing and he's kind of chuckling and pausing. And he goes, and then he says, you just can't give it up, can you? And I said, no, I'll never give it up. And he goes, you know, and someday I might just break and just then we'll have it all out. And I go, okay, good. Well, I'm going to keep on bringing it up because I'm going to wait for that day. And when it happens and you give me the green light, then we're going to talk. But how in the world can you have hope? Well, the only way is through faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on in the world. And then he concludes with the drought that hit the land after the locusts. Gird yourselves in lament, verse 13. You priests, wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before your eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down, for the grain has withered. How the animals groan. The herds of cattle are restless because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. O Lord, to you I cry out, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. Man, oh man, with a judgment that was coming down on the nation of Israel, where nothing, I mean, the animals, you want to go send your cows out so they can eat and have milk. There's nothing to eat. You're everything devastated through drought and through locusts, gone. Amazing that people even survive. And see, Joel is writing at the time of Athaliah, when Joash is just becoming a king. And at first, he brings revival when he listens to the priest. Then the people turn away after the priest dies, as we covered last week. We were going to cover what it means to consecrate a fast. We'll pick it up there next week. And you know, just another thing, it's not just America that's suffering. Are there other places of the world suffering? We already mentioned Germany and Europe having all this cataclysmic stuff that's happening to them. And South Africa, how many of you follow South Africa this last week? They mandated critical race theory, you know, to just really pump up the racial tensions and the people that, you know, like we are doing in our country, trying to pump up and get people to hate each other and to turn against each other, which is really what it's doing. And so there was a former president was arrested, and people and the people in South Africa say it was all organized. Then a group of people to destroy went in and looted major department stores and everything. They took everything. There's video of them walking out with every single, you know, a guy's dragging an oven, a brand new oven, another one, a brand new refrigerator, people coming out with, you know, carts, using the carts to get them into their car, and nobody's doing anything, completely emptying out Fred Meyer, Walmart, you know, all these stores, completely emptying them out and then burning the places down. And one of the videos was of this guy who's sitting there, goes, I have left my important job just to keep it from spreading to our homes. You know, we've already lost our grocery stores, our department stores. I don't know what I'm going to do. But what we're doing now is the citizens are gathering together and he says, I am keeping watch. I'm sleeping like 2 hours trying to keep watch to keep them, to keep these marauding bands of lawless, you know, looters and stuff from coming and destroying our neighborhood block. Now think about that, because he's, when the dust settles, who's going to go reload millions of dollars worth of inventory into a store? Who's going to rebuild it? Who's going to rebuild, you know, if it happens here and QFC gets burned, people just loot all the different grocery stores, is QFC, and don't burn it. Are they going to then fill it back up with millions of dollars? You know what's going to happen? If it happens here, what we're going to be is a complete slave of the government. The government's going to say, okay, you know, all this is done, but we have a plan. As long as you do what you tell us, we tell you to do, we'll give you your stipend of what you need. And by the way, we already know what you need because you've been using your QFC card and your other card to determine for us to database what you buy. And when you go to Costco, we database what you buy. We know what you need. And so as long as you let us go door to door to make sure that you have all your guns taken away and you have your food that you've stored up taken away and all this other stuff, then we're going to put you on the docket and you will be a slave of the New World Order. And that's what we know, that's what's coming. We know the New World Order is coming because the Bible says so. Do we know it's going to be in our lifetime? We can't know for sure, but all the signs are that it's on its way, that it's coming. And when that does happen, will I be upset? You bet. The American in me is going to be upset. But love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love you more than America. I love you more than my freedoms. And I'm going to still serve you and try and be a witness to the people that have no hope and are seeing this happen and going crazy out of their mind because they have nothing to anchor their soul to. And I'm anchored in Jesus and I can minister to you. And that's our mission. And I hope everybody here will let the Word of God become important. We need to ramp it up and to just let this be what rules our life and let Jesus become more and more important in our life. And if you don't know Jesus, that you would just come to a saving relationship and knowledge of him by just joining me in this prayer and then talk to us afterwards. Talk to me afterwards. Father, we thank you for your promises, God. And I even just thank you for warning us in your scripture the consequences of what comes, knowing that I can prepare my heart, Lord, to let everything in this world go because it's going to go. If we keep on rebelling against you and using your name as a curse word instead of out of adoration for what you've done to save us. And as people just reject your law and governments turn against you and hate your people, we know what's going to happen because you didn't leave us as orphans. You left us your word and your Holy Spirit. And God, I just pray that you would help all of us in this room to just hold the enjoyments of this world lightly because we want to hold tightly the joy and the peace that we're going to have in your eternal kingdom someday soon. And that you would help us to be a witness, Lord, that we do have a hope, that we do have hope and a living hope, as Peter says, a hope that truly is going to be realized someday when we go to be with you. And if there's anybody here that hasn't repented yet and come to saving faith in you, Lord, that they would just admit right now by saying, God, I have sinned against you. I have lived my life for myself. I have been selfish against my Creator. And God, I want to repent. I want to realize that you made me and you deserve to be worshipped and praised. That you've made a way for me to be forgiven and I want your forgiveness, God. I want you to change my heart, to allow your word to be important to me, to even use your Holy Spirit in my life to help me to understand this difficult book. I want to live the rest of my life in service to you. And I want to thank you for what you've done to make a way for us to be saved, me to be saved. And God, I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song. Light for
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. For us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, its perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
What a beautiful summary of this day. We got to get our eyes on Jesus. And then this world is just not going to matter as much. We all have the percentages. What God wants is the world percentage to get less and less with time, and the God percentage, the Jesus percentage, to grow. Can we all grow in that? Amen. God bless you, keeping you his care. Meditate on that today. You know, get along with Jesus and say, Jesus, I want more of you and less of the world. Amen.